Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Poole. My guest is Megan Buchanan. And today, as I'm recording this, it's March 26, 2021. And Megan will be leaving in a few hours from California to Mount Everest. So, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, Megan, this is monumental. It's monumental. So when you take off from the plane, do you travel over the Pacific Ocean to get to Nepal?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't even know. I don't know what my route is. I don't know. I guess maybe I do, because actually, so I fly into Doha, Qatar. So we're going through that way, and then I'll go over to Kathmandu. I actually have no idea which way that I go. I haven't looked at that part. You know why? Because I have no control over it. So I'm not going to worry about that part.
Is it a long flight?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's like a 15-hour to Doha. And then I've got like 8 hours, and then I think it's like a 4 or 5 hour flight to Kathmandu. So yes, I am ready for many days of travel.
Okay, so
Go ahead.
You tell me you didn't sleep very much last night, but you'll be able to sleep, I'm sure, on the plane, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I was up. It's so funny. I have so long to prepare for this, and you think you're prepared, and then you go to actually pack. And I've been trying to pack for over a week now, but because I do work a regular day job, and they're trying to get everything they can out of me before I go to transfer all the knowledge, because someone else is, taken over, that I just find myself like, oh, well, all right, I'll get it all done. But, oh, my gosh, there's all these last-minute things I realize, oh, this is wrong and that's wrong. And so, yeah, I was up until about 2:30 a.m. And then, but that's pretty typical. And then, yeah, so I've got a couple errands to run this morning, and my sister took the day off to spend with me and take me to the airport, and I'll run to the airport probably around noon today. And be on my way, and I've got huge duffel bags with me. I can't believe it's finally here.
So did your workmates give you, like, a little bon voyage party?
You know, it is hard during COVID to do much, but, yes, they were love. A few of us met outside in an outside patio. And most of us who either were vaccinated at this point, but nice socially distanced out in the patio, but kind of had a virtual thing as well. So everyone is extremely excited for me and has no idea why I am doing this. But, it's funny. I've got my California friends. I've got my Colorado friends. My friends in Vail and Aspen, I mean, they get it. Who hasn't climbed Kilimanjaro and Everest there? But in California, Southern California, a lot of them are just like, oh, my goodness. I can't even go to 9,000 feet. So, it is fun. It's really fun to be able to share the experience with other people. And, and that's why I'm really excited to share my pictures so you can really see what it's like to, travel these amazing villages and tea houses and the base camp community. It's just, it's all part of the experience.
Now, your goal ultimately is to do the Seven Summits. Is Mount Everest the tallest mountain in the world?
It's the highest peak for Asia, the continent, but it's also the highest peak in the world. Yeah,
wow.
So that's why this is the big one. This is the big one. And, it's so funny because someone asked me, like, wouldn't you rather just say that to be the last one, like the crescendo? I was like, heck no. I'd rather do this one when I'm ready to do it, which is now, and be done. And then it will be you know, to relief when I finish the other two this year.
So the other two will seem like a walk in the park, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, it never is. Antarctica is going to be a different experience just because it is the temperatures are extreme and it's a very remote place. So I think every single summit around this world and every continent has its own challenges. So that's part of what I look forward to. The physical portion of it, though, I imagine will be easier than Denali or than Everest. So I look forward to that. And so in December, hopefully, that's when I will kick over and become the first aerospace engineer to do the 7 summits. And then I'll do the South Pole, too. And then hopefully next spring, I'll finish with the North Pole and then complete the Explorer's Grand Slam. And that's the one where far fewer women have done that. And that's what I'm really excited to do, to help inspire women to really, mm-hmm. like, go for their goals and all these male, you know, traditionally male dominated, you know, areas, you know, in work, in athletics. So that will mean a lot to me.
So I spoke to Mary Frances yesterday, and when you get back from Everest, you know, I'd like to do another three-way call with the three of us, just to let everybody know. Megan and myself have been talking about coloring book to inspire women or anybody to reach beyond themselves to do something really terrific. So after the after you come back, I'd like to do a three-way call with Mary Frances, and then we could talk about the layout, what you'd like to see in the coloring book, and I think it would be a wonderful thing. So, you know, in June, I guess, yeah, would be the time for us to talk. So,
go ahead.
You're leaving today.
Correct.
So
yes.
From today to the time you step on the mountain, what's the time frame? Is it a couple of days? Is it a week? What is it?
I think I start about April 2nd or April 1st. We'll fly into Lukla from Kathmandu. So we're supposed to report in on March 30th with my whole group. But I'm going in 2 days early just to give myself time to adjust, to give myself the time off of work to really, like, sit down with my computer and get, you know, all the social media set up and get everything ready so that I can blog and share my journey as well. So I'll be doing it in the comfort of the Yak and Yeti Hotel in Kathmandu, Nepal. And we'll do a call from there too. I'll be able to give you a call. And we were just talking earlier about, you know, when you do all this international travel, there's all these great apps now that you can use, like WhatsApp. And you know, one of the other things we kind of talked about over the series is really helping people, like, inspire people to start at wherever they are. And we talked about you doing your steps, which is so awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I also mentioned a girlfriend of mine did that app, The Conqueror, and she did Everest and it takes you through this journey when you fly into Lukla, and it just sends you information, and it's according to the steps that you're doing on your treadmill or you walking, and you'll do the mileage that you do. And my sister's doing it, and my cousins are doing it, and everyone's signing up to kind of hike Everest with me. And so there's, you know, I definitely want to encourage everyone to do something like that and have your own little Everest.
So what is the mileage from the bottom of the mountain until the top? How many miles is it?
Cynthia, I should have been prepared for this. I don't know.
I'm
I do not
sorry.
Know.
Okay. Okay.
I'll have to see. I haven't done the app, but I'll have to see, and I'll let you know. Let me see. Mileage to hike to summit of Everest.
It's got to be a couple miles, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. What is it, Vicky, my sister? 40 miles, the Conqueror app says, to
oh
walk.
Oh, my God.
From
Wow. Lula.
Well, to actually climb Everest, though, it's longer. The app, though, it takes you from Lukla, the town you fly into, to the summit of Everest. What that doesn't account for is, for me in reality, then I'll be walking back. And we also have rotations where we go up to different camps and come back down to base camp. So for me, I'm assuming, though, then it will be more like probably more like 80 or 90 miles total.
Okay.
I'll get that information. I'll look that up time we talk from Kathmandu. I'll get the stats
okay,
on that.
Great. Now, I know, I've been thinking about it. As the week rolled on, I kept thinking, well, it's one day less that Megan's got to, you know, wait for her plane to get to Nepal. And I keep thinking, and I think this is an important question, what's your emotional state right now? How do you feel?
That is a really good question. And the, how I feel right now is jittery and stressed. Just because I'm on little sleep and I just started drinking a nitro cold brew from Starbucks. And really it's and I knew this ahead of time, I did not give myself enough days in between actually working my regular job as an engineer and then leaving on this trip. And even though I've been preparing for it, I should have given myself, you know, at least a full day off to really, you know, get everything. So now I'm feeling a little bit rushed, but I also know that I will get there. So I'll be able to really start feeling the emotions, I think, once I leave for the airport, because until then, I'm going to be very, very busy just double-checking my list, making sure I've got everything. But then, you know, I've got 3 hours till my flight leaves, and I have a lot of flights, and it gets very emotional. For sure. I start tearing up thinking about it right now. You know, saying goodbye to my sister. She's just such an amazing support to me. And I know that my mom and my sister, they support me so much and they're strong for me, but I know they're worried. And, I just want them, you know, to know how much I appreciate their support so that I can do something like this. And I'm so grateful so many people have, you know, anyone that takes off 2 months from their life to go chase a dream, it's so helpful to have someone, you know, running your life for you and taking care of your pets and doing all that stuff for you to allow you to be able to do something like this. So, see, now I'm all emotional. It is. It's just a grand. Oh, go ahead.
It's not just 2 months, Megan. You have been training like 2 years for this. So even though you keep your regular life going, every day or every week, you would take a chunk of time and devote it to train for this. That in itself is truly amazing. Because people today are so... They might have a goal, but yet when they see it's a long-term commitment, they'll kind of back away from it. This is a long-term commitment, you know?
It is.
You know, it's not like, well, of course, you know, whether you're a runner, whether you're a swimmer, whatever, it's a commitment. But to climb a mountain, that very few people have done is truly, truly an amazing feat. And I give you all the credit in the world for what you're doing. And I've got to thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you put that so well. And I think that is what it's about, where, you know, there are days you know, it is hard to take the time out of your life to really focus in on what you want. And the days that you're tired or the days that you're just overtraining, whatever your goal is, and then to still put in that time. And, you know, I have to tell you, of course I want to summit. Of course I plan on summiting. I have no other thought in my mind. But I truly feel so accomplished to just be ready to go, you know, and to get to this point where I am physically ready. I am mentally ready. I have got, you know, all the gear, all the preparation. Like, I feel like I've won already so much. But yeah, you're right. Like, just really dedicating to the execution. And that's an amazing feeling. And that is something that I think anyone can experience. And we've talked about this. Start with a smaller goal. But when you get to follow it through, it's such an amazing feeling. And you don't start with something like Everest. You start with, you know, day hikes. You start with a 14er in the United States, or doing, you know, the East Coast, a couple mountains there. And then it, you know, grows to, I'm going to go do a week-long trip somewhere or another country, or I'm going to meet a team I've never met before and climb with them. And so it is a lifetime of practice and training. And, you know, and this is the payoff. This is the payoff right here. And it feels really amazing.
Would you say this was comparable, let's say, to being in the Olympics? Because people train and train and train, and then comes that moment where they actually do it and succeed. Is that kind of, would you say, a comparable feeling?
I don't know, because I haven't been an Olympic athlete, so I don't know that I can answer that. I would, you know what, I think that this is, I think that this feeling I'm having right now is more approachable for the average person, because, you know, I think a lot more people can do this than, you know, in the Olympics, you have to be the top of the top to even be allowed to do it. And this is something that if you, you know, you practice, you try, you put in the time, you have the resources, you can do it. So I think it's a little different. What I have been kind of equating this to is the amount of preparation that goes into this is like a wedding. And although I have to say I have been married before and then quickly divorced after, this is much better than a wedding to me. But the amount of time that goes into it, and then when it's done, it's done. And you have great pictures and stories. But, you know, and in a way, this is the love of my life. I've been waiting for Everest for a very long time. So, mm-hmm. And like many people last year whose weddings got canceled, my trip got canceled. And so here we are again. Everest and I are still in love.
So how I met you, Megan, to give everybody a background of how we met. I met somebody here in Albany, New York, who is a mountain climber, and she introduced me to you, and then we started talking, and then I had done one interview with you, and then for months we didn't communicate, and one day on Facebook, I saw, you know, as you were preparing for Everest, I thought, oh my God, this is a great story. So that's when I contacted you, started doing conversations, and really quick we developed, it developed into a really strong bond and a good friendship, and I think it's terrific, you know, even though we're on different
teams,
you know,
yes.
It doesn't matter.
And just so people know, like, we've never met face-to-face.
No, we haven't.
And that, I know, which we are going to in June. I'm coming to New York. But no, this has been lovely. And I think this is a bigger message too. Like, again, I always say, when I talk to women's groups, you know, I just say, look, you've been told a lie, ladies, that women don't get along. I don't subscribe to that. I think that's a choice. And I do know there are a lot of women who are very threatened by other women. But women do not have to feel like that. It is a choice, and we are so much better together. And when you can make these friendships, and you and I, after we do a call, then we usually talk afterwards, And, you know, it's just being able to build a support system as women who understand what women go through, I think is invaluable, and it has made me a much better person for sure. And don't get me wrong, many of my mentors, some of my best mentors are men, and there are feminist men all around, and thank God for them. But there is something very, very special when you can share your thoughts with other people that go through what you go through. And, you know, it's just interesting, even with work, I've had to move companies to find companies that will support what I'm doing, because I think it is a bigger message, and I think it is important. And in companies I worked for before, it's very interesting. They think it's cute in the beginning, but when I actually have to go to take time off, they start calling it, you know, a little vacation or my camping and hiking. But if a man was leaving, this actually happened to me, I was leaving to actually climb Denali at a former company, and they were all up in a tizzy about me taking a month off, where a man climbed Rainier, which is an amazing feat, and had all these accolades, but I was going to go climb Denali, and it wasn't the same reception. And I was like, even in today's world, I find that unacceptable. And so especially as women who know what we all go through in the work field, you know, this year has been devastating for so many women that are still working, maybe from home. They're still, now the kids were home, they're still the primary caregivers. And so we face, we have to work three times as hard in general. And it's just so nice to speak to other women who get that, appreciate that, and support each other.
That's great. But, you know, there's one other thing that I should bring up. We're not only on different coasts, but I'm a generation older than you. And, you know, you inspired me, you know, to do my stairs and to do 57,000 stairs a year, which is equivalent to climbing Mount Everest. And some days, if I do it outside and it's chilly and, you know, the conditions aren't perfect, and I start complaining to myself a little bit, I snap out of it and I say, you know what? This, it might be chilly right now, but it's not going to be as cold as getting to 40 degrees below zero at Mount Everest. So everything, you know, can't even think of the word to use. Everything is relevant to that particular time frame.
Yeah, I love that, and I'm so glad that you I'm so glad that that little voice in your head is like, what are you doing? You better get up and get this done, because that is part of, like, you know, what we've been talking about, and how you get there, and how you get there a lot of times is talking to other people and getting inspired by other people, and what we each experience as individuals. It matters, and it's your journey, and something to you that might be very hard is extremely easy to another person. So, of course, if I go hiking with, you know, friends or whatever here in California, we're doing maybe a three-hour hike, and they're complaining about the heat, and this is so long, you know, am I going to at that point have great sympathy and feel the same way? No, probably not. But... because I, you know, because I've been in extreme conditions. But the thing is that I do need to respect is it's their journey. And then maybe you push them a little further and it expands what their threshold is. And that's part of that practice of the resilience that we talk about, of grit and really pushing your boundaries and enduring the struggle, because it's in the struggle that we grow and we become better. And I was talking to a couple of people about Everest too, is you have to love struggle and be okay with struggle to do mountains like these, because it's going to hurt. And that all comes with practice and pushing your boundaries and having that mental strength. So much of Everest is mental strength.
So we have just a couple of minutes left. Tell everybody how they can follow your journey with you through social media.
I would love for everyone to follow my journey. Hopefully in the next day or two, I will have my website so that I can start blogging on it. We're getting that done in the next couple of days. So it's grit, GGRIT.com for gratitude, growth, resilience, integrity, and tenacity. And then on Instagram, I am getgrit at GET and then GGRIT. So that will be me, and you can follow, and I'll be posting from Kathmandu. Cynthia, you and I will talk from there, and we'll hopefully talk from base camp also, which I'm super excited about. But I definitely want to share what it's like for this adventure, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally. And I hope that I inspire a few of you to, you know, pick a goal and stick with it, because you're worth it. You're worth it. This feeling is amazing that I did the work to get to this point. And again, I already feel like I have summited. It's a wonderful feeling. And thank you for your support.
Wow. That's great. So, you know, I look forward to talking with you once you leave the States and we can communicate by social media and telephone. And Megan, all I can say is I wish you all the luck in the world. But, you know, it's not luck. It's not luck because what you've done is totally, totally terrific. Luck might be maybe a small part, but it's determination.
Weather.
It's essence.
Yeah.
And weather, of course. So, you know, I mean, I know we won't be.
Someone said it really well to me. A friend said that they wish me an uneventful summit and return. No drama, nice and easy, and you can wish me good luck for weather. The luck part, I can't control the weather, so that would be good.
Okay, Megan. So, you know, we'll be in touch during your adventure, and I look forward to talking with you and having more conversations when you get back. So you've been listening to Megan Buchanan, who's leaving today for Mount Everest. This is Cynthia Poulin. This is Women Who Inspire, and if you like this show, follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Thanks, Megan. All the luck. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.